I could listen to that all day. That's Dr. Lonnie Smith with He's a Mighty Good Leader. Gives you a hint as to where we're going today. Smith, of course, is on the Hammond B3 organ. David Fathead Newman is on tenor sax later on. Doug Monroe is on guitar and Lefray Sy on drums. This is from Lonnie Smith's 2003 album, From Boogaloo to Beck. It's a great album. You know, I'm stuck in the old music, so at some point I'll get out a little bit and sample some of the new music, but I'm just enamored of older music and jazz music. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And yes, he's a mighty fine leader. A mighty good leader, actually, is the title. A mighty good leader. What the heck is going on in this country? And why can't it be fixed? Why has it gone on so long that there is no telling when or if it could be fixed, and then what would the fix be? Well, you know what the president has done over the weekend. He has left the country in a tizzy over again his mouth, as he sees it, his most lethal weapon, castigating four women of color in Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from the Bronx and Queens, the district that crosses over, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, and Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts. They criticized him. He has shot back with the view that they ought to go back to where they came from. Now, I don't know whether he means that in terms of where they came from, where they were born, in which case it's a stupid statement. The only person of the four who was born outside of the United States actually is Ilhan Omar, and she's a citizen. All the others are Americans. But what are we talking about here? I want to talk about how do we take very seriously the notion that we are political people. And so we shouldn't be reacting to what somebody says and you know what the retort is, and that's such elemental behavior. That's what children would do. Johnny says this and Bobby says that, and the fight just keeps going on and on and on. In politics, when your community is insulted, that is to say, when you or I believe ourselves to be insulted, our task is to just rain down some serious punishment on the offender. He keep going through the cycle of complaining, and he says this and he says that, and he's all he is doing is confirming who and what he is. It's disgusting that in 2019, our head of state is operating at this level. But you can't say I didn't point it out a long time ago that this is him. This is the way he behaves. And he behaves that way because he hasn't had a decisive act taken against him. He hasn't had that. He knows people will talk, and then they'll talk some more, and that's it. It will just follow this script until one or the other just goes away for one reason or the other. And Trump has learned, and he learned this early, we are not to be taken seriously. Because we tolerate this kind of behavior. Our political system tolerates it. And our political leadership tolerates it. There's no real sustained action against this president, and not just his behavior. I refuse to make it a central part of my daily life, regulating the behavior of a man who obviously has some very serious psychological problems. He's in his 70s. And he has to be coddled like this. I don't want to do that. That's why, to a large degree, I removed myself from political shenanigans a long time ago. The political process made no sense to me. Why should I, with all that I have to contend with, also have to worry about what is the president going to do next? What is he going to say next? He does not and should not occupy even the remotest corner of our consciousness. What we should be very, very concerned about is getting him out. Okay, he was elected, but it was a mistake. Correct the mistake and move on. But this cowardice on the part of the opposition, that is the Democrats, that they, whining and they, we don't know. Look what he's doing. Look what he's saying. He's embarrassing us. Well, the solution is with you. You're called the opposition for a reason. Oppose. Go ahead and oppose. But you get to thinking all kinds of strange conspiracies. Do the Democrats really oppose Donald Trump? Do they really want to solve this problem? Do they really represent the people? If so, none of this would be tolerable. But we see so often there is an alignment between the Democrats themselves and this out of control administration and president. They're reluctant to take him on. And there are reasons. They haven't been doing the work of building constituency. They haven't been doing that. So they are not sure, absolutely certain, that any initiative they take, they have the support of the people in taking it. And then we have the same kind of crazy behavior in Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic Party leader, who refuses, absolutely refuses, to entertain seriously the intention of a large percentage of Democratic Party leaders to proceed with impeachment. She says no, and she's a one-woman band. What the hell is this? So we are stuck, in many cases, not because we aren't willing to follow through with what we're feeling and what we want to do, but because our own leaders are just taking implausible positions on things and retarding forward movement. This is the issue with Trump. It isn't what he's doing. He's not a mystery wrapped in a puzzle. He's not that complicated. But for the life of me, somebody explain, please, why it is that in the face of this inept, incompetent, and I said it long before people were talking about it, this mentally defective person who has been given all kinds of privileges and rights to which he's not entitled under the law. He simply is running the country as a one-man band. And this is, you could see this coming, as I did. This is not so difficult to analyze. This is not a deep-taught problem. It is, in fact, quite the opposite. Painfully apparent. And despite all of the evidence that this presidency is particularly troubled psychologically, the corruption, the total disregard for the rule of law, these are not new. And here we are on the cusp of a national election in which the same defective person is expected either to win outright or to show convincingly that his power has not diminished. And we have the Democratic Party members flailing their arms around. It's like they don't know what to do. They can't do this. They can't do that. And we are supposed to ride along with them. No, this is the time to dump them. You can't fix this. And you've had all this time. You've had all the requisites that you required to get this thing under control. You can't do it, then you're not supposed to be in office either. We don't want you. So you get elected, and we now have to go along with you with another leg of suffering. No. You can either do the job or you can't. If you can't do the job, it's okay. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Come clean, tell us all. Look, I truly believe that we could do something, but it seems as if we can't. So I'm leaving politics. That's an honorable thing to do. But we've been tagging along and dragging along, and it's about a stunning lack of momentum. We aren't going anywhere. And you want us to commiserate with you? No, I'm not in the mood to commiserate. Our mentality should be to get you out because you're useless. If in the face of a kind of fight like this, we're still at stage one, and we see what's lurking on the horizon, it's not going to be much different than what we're experiencing now. In fact, if it is going to be different, it will be in terms of intensity. This president hates us. And I'm not so concerned whether he does like us or not. I'm concerned that at least theoretically, we have the power to get him out of office. Why can't we do that? What is the big problem here? Why is the Democratic Party, in particular, in the way of the people and what they want to do? Why is the party fighting its constituency, indicating that the constituency is not nearly as bright as it ought to be, not as intelligent as it ought to be? They do not appreciate the nuances of things. They're simple people. They do not have the same understanding of the political process as we have. So even though we are the so-called Democratic Party, our actions are not in line with that. The actions of the Democratic Party leadership are not in line with its membership. So this, we have to do something a little different, I think. Set aside all this business associated with Trump. He gave us clues, I mean, more than clues. He gave us the map a long time ago. And the leadership kept saying, well, we still have to negotiate and we still have to come to the table. All the nonsense that we hear all the time. This is not what politics is supposed to be. He is an impediment to progress, an impediment to democracy. He's got to be removed. And besides which, he's a crook. His administration is riddled with corruption. In his mind, he likes the way the country is now because he's running things and making tons and tons of money. Several generations down the line are already financially protected. Everything that America has is his own personal possession. That's what he thinks. And that's what the leadership allows him to think. And then they get into these meetings. And then they try to convince us, excuse excuse me, that they understand how to really deal with this difficult problem, but you're not dealing with it. So added to what it is we should be doing about the president is an obligation we have to fix this party by getting rid of it, getting out of it. I am not a Democrat or Republican or conservative or liberal or progressive. I have no political labels. My political label is whatever is in our collective interest and survival, in the interest of that. That's what I am. I'm not so madly in love with Democrats that I would give up my brain to the Democrats and give them, transfer to them the power, the little puny bit of power that I have, and wait and see what they do with it. We've seen it. You're not doing anything with it. You can't do anything with it because you don't want to do anything with it. This is the time for people to make this decision. You've had the benefit of time and doubt. You've had support, unbridled support, for decades and decades. It is time to admit that the Democratic Party and other parties as well, but since the Democratic Party is the leading opposition party, it's a joke. We right now should be feeling protected because our people are fighting. They're fighting in Congress and they're leading the charge and they're doing what the general population wants them to do. Get rid of Donald Trump and his administration. But you don't want to do that. The leader of the party says, no, I don't think it's a good idea. Okay, well, that's you. So are we to understand now that on top of the business of having to fight against a very unfriendly, a very hostile administration and president, the leader of the party is a major impediment to our progress and to my survival? You see, I talk about survival all the time. Don't get emotional about it. It is just something you have to do. And if there is a sense they're not doing it, they are not securing our collective survival. They don't understand that that's what they're supposed to do. Then you leave this party. People will say, what you're saying is, you know, the party should die. Well, if it's not doing its job, we shouldn't have emotion about whether it dies or not. It's alive now, it's not doing very much, except providing a means for individuals to see to their survival through elections and so forth. And they get to hobnob and they get to go to great champagne parties. But we are not serious. We are the ones. We are not serious about this. We have not made any demands of this party. We have not charged this party with underperforming spectacularly as it relates to our collective survival. We don't take ourselves seriously. And we don't take our obligation, our right to see to it that anything that operates in our interest supposedly does exactly that. If you're not operating in our interests, you've got to go. That's a very simple, premise to understand, but it hasn't happened. And here we are on the cusp of repeating the same problems, repeating the same tired reproach that gives this party permission to abuse us, to disrespect us, to ignore us. And at some point, there will have to be an accounting. To what degree have we aided and abetted our own demise? Putting up with this nonsense. You have a person who's clearly crazy in the White House. I was an early critic of that. And lo and behold, psychiatrists and psychologists and whatnot, people all over the world, leaders all over the world. This is one president we should be able to look at as a person who solved the problem of polarized politics. Because almost everybody is in agreement, as the British ambassador said in his private notes, this president is totally incompetent and dangerous. And now he attacks four women of color, and they're not protected. They are not protected. And we talk about, well, you know, we're fighting the power. we're joking. We are jokers. Do you think if we were serious people, this president would dare treat four women of color in this derogatory way and still be in office? And the leader of the party, a white woman with dubious allegiances, is basically saying, no, let's not move against him. Let's wait and see how things develop. Then you are not suited for your job. You need to get out. We need to put you out. That's my view of politics. I don't get wrapped up in the, you know, the emotion of it. It's a very straight and simple thing, because that's the way it is for everybody else. I'm voting, therefore I'm participating. I expect this system that I'm supporting to respond to me and my constituency accordingly. If it doesn't, it is my job. It is my duty to utterly and completely destroy you and find something else that will work. It may not be perfect, but at least it won't be the same old, same old, same old that we've been experiencing for decades. You know what it says about people who tolerate oppression gladly and willingly for decades? You're not worth protecting. You deserve no respect. We could do anything we want. And you will guarantee that we could do it with your vote. And after you vote, we'll see you next time. Well, this is my attitude today. I don't care about Donald Trump. Trump has been Trump for a long time. Look what he came from. Now, when all is said and done, look what he came from. His is not a life of pedigree. A grandfather who ran a whorehouse and sold drugs in Canada. That was the inside joke when Trump went to visit with the Prime Minister of Canada, and he gave him a photograph. Few people got the joke, and it wasn't a joke. It was a statement that this is where you came from. Your grandfather deserted the military. There were warrants out for his arrest, and he ducked and stayed under the radar, finally ending up in Canada, in the Klondike region. Opened up an establishment that he called a hotel. Well, it was a hotel. Drugs abounded. Those are the reports in the newspapers at the time. So walking around like you are some elitist from the upper classes. You have no class, period. And people ought to know that. Your mother was a refugee, an illegal alien, to be very specific, living undercover, her grandmother, I should say, living undercover. No, I'm talking about his mother. I'm confused. And all she wanted was a little job, which she got as a maid in a hotel. Stop, pump your chest and thump your chest like you're somebody. You're nobody. But your whiteness, which is what you understand, your whiteness automatically gives you privileges and rights that others should not enjoy. And here you are talking about these members of Congress, duly elected via constituencies, their constituencies ought to go back where they came from. What the hell is wrong with you? It is up to us to teach him a lesson. He can't talk to people like that. We won't have it. But we are cowards. We don't mean a thing we say. And they know it. They know it. So I'll pause here for a minute and we'll come back to your thoughts and opinions at 888-874-4888 right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and you're on the air at 888-874-4888. I could probably title today's program, We're Shuckin' and Jivin'. We have Bruce up first. You're on the air, Bruce.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you today?
Okay.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I called because your introductory questions. You asked two questions at the top. I was afraid that you might have been in danger of agreeing with me, you know, because I've been arguing now for nearly the time that Trump was in office that the problems that we're facing cannot be solved, and they're not merely political. And I was afraid that you might have been on the verge. I mean, since then you've pulled back somewhat. I mean, in your delivery today. But I was afraid that you might be in danger of total capitulation. But however,
never capitulation. Never.
But seriously, I agree with everything you're saying today. You know, and when I travel to other places, when I see how other infrastructure, the point I'm making is that this thing is not purely political. And it's not purely Trump either. Like, you would agree with both of these points, you know. But this has been going on for a long time. I mean, if you look at the infrastructure in this country, I mean, it's been eroding for years. So the point I'm making is that the political directorate, the Congress, I mean, Nancy Pelosi and this fake Trump versus Nancy Pelosi thing, I mean, they're basically on the same side. You know, and I believe that they may themselves have come to the realization that there's nothing that they can do about Trump. You know, they have basically accepted Trump as is, and are just hoping to play time out, and that in 2 years' time, next year, that we'll have a new president. You know, but the thing is that when you introduce this type of thing into a body politic, you can't get it out again. I mean, you can't. It's like taking water out of the sea. I mean, you can't have somebody in a Trump and then say, well, we can elect somebody else and we can forget that we had this epoch of Trump. I mean, this is not going to go away, you know. And I am afraid that Nancy Pelosi, you know, it might have come to the conclusion that there's nothing that she can do, and that's why she doesn't want to maybe impeach, you know, regardless of what the people want. But even if they did impeach, I mean, I am not sure that it will change the trajectory of the general trajectory of this country towards self-destruction.
What I think is, very simply put, the people of color in Congress are terrified even of potential power. They're terrified of it. And it's not that we haven't seen it before. We've had some knockdown, drag out fights, and we've had some leaders who were leaders. I could quickly rattle off the name Adam Clayton Powell Jr. And you know, he was one person. But look at the effect. He, in fact, represented a huge portion, just as one person, of the United States and even abroad. Our leaders are cowards. And the first thing they're thinking of is, well, can I survive this kind of battle? When the answer is, this is the kind of battle you supposedly were training for. And people will back you up when they see that you are taking on what you said you came to Congress for, which was to do battle with this intransigent system. But they all want that extra house. You know, they want to live in good neighborhoods. They want their children to go to good schools. They want all the trappings of the middle class and upper middle class life. And the hell with the people. They'll just go along. They're not that bright anyway. It will take them some time to catch on. That's the thinking. And I'm saying precisely because that's the thinking, and precisely because we are at a point, historically speaking, where we must chart a new course, this is the time, this is a time of reckoning. And we ought to just move out of the way those people who are impediments to our progress. But we too are joking. We're taking this thing seriously. We're not. Our attitude is, well, we elected you, that's the end of that too, and until the next election. Well, okay, it gets you a certain kind of result, the result that we have now.
Well, I totally agree with that as well. But we have, I mean, the people have been made supine. The leadership,
You're being so kind, and you're being so gentle about it. Supine.
But there's no ability. I mean, yes, the people are the ones who are responsible for their leaders, right? But the way the system has developed over time, it makes citizens powerless to do anything collectively about governance,
And it But that's not true. I don't think that that's true. And that's the argument I've been making. I said our destiny, our survival, is tied into the reclaiming, rebuilding, reorganization of our communities. We still have great power, and that's where it resides. Forget the party and all this kind of stuff. Power is what's happening in your neighborhood, where you live. And we have totally abandoned our communities, thinking that, our luck is going to come in at some other level in some other place. No. Our communities, as damaged as they are, as broken as they are still our best chance at survival and collective defense. So we need to move away from this model and get totally microscopic. What's happening in our neighborhoods is where our power is. And we have to fight and protect our neighborhoods, our communities, and build and rebuild community, because that's an expression of our power. I don't care about who's a congressman of this and who's the assemblyman of that. It's a non-working formula. It hasn't been working for decades. Why do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? Thanks, Bruce, for getting us started today.
All right.
Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you, Trace, and good afternoon to the PRN family. So I'm not going to be redundant, but I am going to agree with you that the problem is that the Democrats, they don't have an answer. They don't have any strategy. They are literally impotent. They just want to have a target to fight, which gives the illusion that they are fighting on behalf of the people. But they really are reluctant to take Trump on. But what Trump is doing is really... This is a worldwide phenomenon, and worldwide there is such antipathy and hatred of black and brown people that Trump is attempting to engage in white minority rule, and that is the problem that I have that others don't necessarily see. But going back to the Democrats, just to give you an example about how they don't have a strategy, for weeks and weeks and weeks they've been talking about getting Trump's tax returns, right? So now the state of New York, Governor Cuomo signed a bill that would allow them to have access to Trump's New York state tax returns. Now, it wouldn't give them a complete look at his federal, but certainly you can draw some conclusions from just looking at his New York State tax returns, because they are a reflection to, and on some part, to his federal tax returns. Cuomo signed that last week. They could have Trump's New York State tax returns last week. So what do you think they have done on the House Ways and Means Committee? Has anybody asked for it? They know that they can get it. They know that this was done specifically to give them access to some of the information they wanted. So they can do it now. So why haven't they done it? Why haven't they done it? That's because they don't have a strategy. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to fight.
And the leaders don't know how to lead.
And then you have on the front page of this past Saturday's New York Daily News was an awful, awful picture of Greg Meeks, who is the congressman from Queens. It's a heavily African-American district. So there's a picture of him screaming at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about why she's trying to be divisive and why she's not falling in line. And I said to myself, my God, first of all, you know, it reminded me of that quote that Malcolm X said, that the most disrespected and unprotected person in America is the black woman. The rules of civility don't apply. Well, clearly, it now extends to black and brown women. And, you know, I don't know if you see that picture distressed me so much, that here's this black man who is going to now target black women on behalf of Nancy Pelosi. I mean, no white man would ever do that to a white woman on behalf of a black. But he felt it was so important to put them in their place on behalf of the white structure. I have a real problem with that.
So, what I opened with the idea that we should dispense with party alliances and what allegiances and anything like that, and for once, because this is a great opportunity to start at that point, to be very, very obsessed with our specific and unique interests. And we should begin the process of putting in place a new way of thinking. Forget party alliances and party. The party isn't doing anything for you. And so begin to think in terms of other things that can work. And that is community-based power. Community-based power. What do you think of the idea?
I think in theory that is the only solution. The problem is that even when you start at the level of the community, when you get to the level of the party, that's the problem. When you get to the level of the party, people change. The question is to find someone who can withstand the pressure and who won't change.
Well, okay. Thanks, Patricia, for your call today.
Thank you.
Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air. Hello, Lincoln?
Yes. Hello?
Okay, you're on the air.
Yeah, how are you? Great, great, great. One second.
You turned your radio down?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, hello? Yeah.
Yes.
You said something. You said Trump is running this country like it's his own little thing. And yes, it's true. But you see, I think we should all take a lesson from Trump. And the lesson is this. America runs the world the way Trump runs this country. Trump is a representation of all of them, even the ones who claim that they're liberal. Look how they treat other countries, so-called third world country. They come to your country, America goes all over the world, and not just America, European nations, countries. They go and they do whatever they feel like doing. As I was listening to you, I thought back to when I was a child and was studying European history and in high school, and they talked about Sir Francis Drake. And he was Sir Francis Drake because the Queen knighted him. Who was Sir Francis Drake? A pirate, a robber, a slave or a traitor. And the Queen knighted him. And when we studied European history, Sir Francis Drake. Trump is another Sir Francis Drake. I think we're all in delusion. We're not realizing what is going on. Trump should wake us up, not just to Trump, but to the system. The system that allows a Trump to occur. When Obama was in, who was Uncle Obama? He was Uncle Obama. That's what he was. And when we would say, let's take him to task, what would black people say? Oh, he's a black man. You know, he's not, the president don't run the country. It's this one who do this. And, you know, as a black man, he can't do this for us. He can't stand up for us. So we rolled over to all of them, not just Trump. We're rolling over to Trump like we roll over to the rest. But Trump is good for us, good in the sense that the facade they use. They come with this so-called Harvard education or Oxford education, but they're doing the same thing Trump is doing. You know, they are putting their foot on the necks of people all around the world. Look, when Mugabe was president, what did England do? Huh? England did to Mugabe what Trump said about the other countries, shithole countries. They were treating Mugabe like he was a shit old president. And that's my problem. See, I'm not a Trump supporter, but my problem is when everyone seems to be looking at Trump in a vacuum rather than in context of what is going on. And when Trump leaves, who will follow him? Another Uncle Tom or another purveyor of the system. That's all we'll follow. And so we need to change the system. White people need to wake up to who they are. That, hey, you know, we only feel embarrassed about Trump because he's exposing us. You know, that English man who said, oh, Trump is an embarrassment and he's not a leader. They're not leaders, too. If they were leaders, the people wouldn't be starving. If they were true leaders, there wouldn't be no foolish wars. So, yes, Trump is a disgrace in certain ways, you know, but he's not worse than those who are murderers. Well, we accept the murderers because we say, oh, they have a Harvard education. So since they have a Harvard education, it's okay for them to send out drone strikes and kill little children all over the world because they make
us feel good. But you see, the difference, I think, Lincoln, is that whether it's Trump or whether it's somebody else, the fact is that there are systems in place that basically you could pick up the manual and find a new candidate tomorrow. Just give him the homework assignment. Here's the manual. Go and read it and get it done. We have no manuals.
That's what I'm saying, in essence, in all of that rambling I just did, I'm saying let's change the manual, let's design one to fix the system.
I love the fact that you yourself described it as rambling, but that's not
rambling. But it's not rambling. I said that purposely, actually.
It's good rambling.
I know I wasn't rambling, I just said that. I said that purposely.
Okay, so what do we do in this moment?
Hello?
Yes, I asked you a question. So what in this moment? We are leaderless, we are rudderless. What do we do in this moment?
It is a mixture of things. Some of the things you suggest, get rid of Trump, but when we do that, that should not be the only thing. We should also get rid of the system. So, you know, if it's just focusing on get rid of Trump, then we're missing the boat. I'm saying it must incorporate everything. Let's re-educate ourselves. You have to understand that when I look at myself and I look at my history, I see that me, like everyone else, we have been victims of miseducation. We have allowed governments to go the way they've been going. We support governments who did not stand for the people. Let's change the system. Let's make it so that every politician is accountable. Let's not look for celebrities. Let's not make celebrities of politicians. You know, let's give them some base pay. Don't let them get no more money than anyone else. Let it be a job, just like teachers. How teachers are talking about their salary. Let politicians talk about their salary too. Give them $60,000 a year or $50,000 a year so that they realize that this is a job of service, not a job of celebrity. You want to be a politician? Okay. You get no more than $40,000 or $50,000 a year because you're no more important than anyone else. You come and you do your job and you go home. That's what we're supposed to do. If I were the leader of a country, that's how I would treat myself. I would not be on no pedestal. Everyone... If there's one person homeless, then I would be homeless. And that's how we should treat them.
In the moment we're in, and we are in a particular moment, what do you advise as the appropriate reaction or the appropriate action to take?
Well, Yutris, so that we do not keep doing the same thing we have been doing. Like we say, oh, every time there's an election, we say, you know what? We got to choose the lesser of the evils. Let us not do that with Trump, because that would be a mistake. Let's start educating the people and organizing. You know, Bernie Sanders dropped the ball. When Bernie Sanders could have given his support behind the independent movement, and we would have had a groundswell. And that's why you all should be ashamed of Bernie Sanders. All those people who supported Bernie Sanders, he should have said to them, vote for the Green Party. Okay? Bernie Sanders is an opportunist like everyone else.
We have to wrap it up. I'm sorry to say we're out of time. But we can continue this discussion. Thank you so much for your input today. Thank you all for your input today. This is a question that confronts us, and we've been running from it. We've gotten all kinds of existential explanations, but we haven't arrived yet at a solution. So see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for your input today. Bye-bye.